You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
If you want to receive something from the Lord this morning, would you reach out your hands in faith? I want to pray for you today. If you come to church today wanting God to speak to you, do something in your life, not just another Sunday, but a day where you meet with God, reach out your hands in faith. Heavenly Father, I pray for every raised hand in this place, every person that came here expecting you to move, God. God, every one of us, we're grateful that you are alive, that you are willing and able to interact in our lives, Lord God, to transform situations and circumstances, to make them bless us and to give glory to you, Lord. I thank you that you are alive. You're not a statue waiting for your belly to be rubbed, but you are intimately involved. And so, God, today we just open up our hearts and this time to you and ask that you would speak to us all, that you would move in this place, that our lives would be changed in Jesus' name. God, we receive the word in faith. Amen. Amen. Give him one more shout of praise. You can touch your neighbor as you take a seat and say to them, it's baptisms. Say it how I said it. It's baptisms. It's all about how you say it. Come on. All right. All right. I am excited to be here today. If you're new here, my name is Jesse. I am the lead pastor here at Eternity Church. I love this church. My wife and I moved here with two midgets 7 years ago and to plant Eternity Church with a team of, with a few families, 10, 15 families from here in Des Moines. And God's been good. Amen. He's been good to the church. The church has exploded. My family has exploded. And had two kids, got five now, and there's something about ministry in Des Moines that makes things multiply. But anyway, so it's good to be here. So it's baptism weekend. Last night, my son, speaking of my kids, he came downstairs. I was installing a lock on a door so that my little kids, where the youngest is, I don't know, somewhere between 12 and 18 months old, and there's five of them, all right? It's difficult to remember. And he sort of always goes in there and starts messing with our weight room and everything and gets cables tangled. And so put a lock on that. And as I'm doing that, Judah comes downstairs and says, Dad, how many were baptized tonight? And I was like, oh, buddy, that's a cool question. I said, 11. That was last night, 11 people were baptized. And then I said to him, I go, oh, why do you ask? He goes, oh, I love baptisms. Because I love seeing people's lives change. And he's like 10 years old, and I'm like, that's exciting. And I know that the rest of you here probably have that same heart that Judah has. Like, just how many got baptized? How many are getting baptized? We love seeing people's lives change. And when they give their lives to Jesus, it's fantastic. But when people step out in faith and say to the world that I am following Jesus, watch me get baptized, it's exciting, isn't it? And I know that if you came here today planning to get baptized, we are super excited about that, and I'm so glad you made that plan, and it's just going to change your life. Today is going to be one of the greatest experiences of your life, but there's also another group of people in this room who did not plan to be baptized this weekend, but in about 20 minutes, they're going to change their mind, and then they're going to ask if they can be baptized, and I love that. It happens every time here at Eternity Church. We roll into baptism weekends usually with something like 10 to 15 people registered to be baptized, and by the end of the weekend, it's like 30 to 40. But I love that we're in a church that will accommodate anyone who wants to be baptized. When you want to be baptized, we're not sitting here saying, well, have you stopped doing this? Have you started saying this? Do you pray 12 times a day? You know, like, we're not trying to do that. We're just trying to do what the Lord commanded us to do and baptize people. Amen? And so I'm excited. Now, some of y'all might be like, how is it going to be possible for me to get baptized? I came in my church clothes. You know, I'm wearing a suit or I'm wearing jeans. And everyone knows if you go in water with jeans, you drown. And so how are we going to do that? Well, the good news is we've got shirts for everybody. Yeah, we got shorts for everybody. We got towels for everybody. Come on, we've got everything you need to get baptized. In fact, I got a model coming out here soon. It's Mrs. Jenna Van Gorb. Now, This, you get a towel, you get one of these shirts and those sweet basketball shorts, right? Thank you, Janet. We're just like, it's our way of saying, and hey, after church, go play some ball. It's good for your health, right? And so everybody gets all of that for free. We've got enough to baptize all of you in this room today. So just go out there, get that gear. That'll be fantastic. So who wants to hear about baptisms? Yeah. Awesome. Let me tell you though, if you're new here, all right, I like to be yelled at, all right, by the crowd. I need you to help me preach, all right? If you don't like respond, and if I say something that I'm like, man, God, that's good, and you're all like, meh, I will walk off the stage and make you watch last night's recording, all right? And so can we respond? Awesome. See, I like that guy. But honestly, Scripture does say that God commands a blessing in unity. So let's not just have some dude on stage and you're watching. Let's do this together. Amen? Awesome. So I'm going to talk to you about Noah. We're going to read from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. But I want to set the story up for you first, because Peter in the New Testament mentions Noah, right? Who knows Noah, right? Anyone Noah guy? Yeah? Noah, all right? That's my very best dad joke ever. You know why I never ever worry about flood? Because I know a guy. Anyway, all right. Noah lived in a wicked, wicked time, right? Now, remember, this was before the cross. Now, what did I say a few weeks ago when we started this OT post-sermon series? That every time you read an OT story, an Old Testament story, you have to read it through the lens of the cross. You have to understand that God has sent his son and Jesus has died on the cross for our sins. So when you read an Old Testament story, you need to read it through that lens, understanding that any punishment dished out on people in the Old Testament has now been dished out on Jesus on the cross. So if the exact same story were to happen today, you would read like at Sodom and Gomorrah or something that the people were so wicked that God punished Jesus. That's how you would read that story now, okay? So it's good to understand that. I encourage you, go get the first sermon from the OT Post Sermon Series. It's myeternity.com/sermons to hear why it's so important to understand the cross before reading Old Testament stories. Sound good? So let's talk about my mate Noah again. Noah lived in a time where people were evil, they were horrible, they were nasty. Come and touch a neighbor and say they were nasty people. I think nasty sounds meaner than nasty, don't you think? They're nasty people, right? They were nasty to each other. They were nasty to God. They were nasty to themselves. The world was evil, and God knew that they would continue to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. So God sent a flood that wiped out all the wickedness so the earth could be what God created it to be. But God had instructed Noah to build a huge boat in the middle of a desert. Noah built a boat. What's that do, God? It floats on what? Water. What's water? Right? Like, Noah, go build a boat. Now, one thing to understand, since it's before the cross, right? How would the story of Noah's Ark go now before the cross? It's not that we would read it and see God punished the evil people. We would read it and say, God saved Noah. Do you understand the difference, right? God looked after Noah. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Noah is building a boat in a desert where it never rains. People hadn't even heard of rain. There's not enough water anywhere to float that boat. And everybody's mocking him. They're like, Noah, ain't no rain, bro. Noah, there's no lakes, dude. We got a little stream and that's it, man. Your boat will block the stream. What are you doing? You're an idiot, right? Everybody is mocking Noah, but then the rain comes. The ones who disobeyed God, they all died. The ones who obeyed God, built the boat, they were saved. So let's read what Peter had to say in the New Testament about this event in 1 Peter 3:20. See, Peter lived on this side of the cross, so he understood what that means to us now, right? So in 1 Peter 3:20, we read Peter saying this. And this is a confusing bit of scripture. To those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built, in it only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through the water. What? Did you catch that? Do you understand the weird bit of this? They were saved through the water. What saved them? Like, you ask anybody, like, why didn't Noah and his people die, right? Why didn't they die? And people are going to be like, well, because they had an ark. Or the super spiritual people will be like, because Jesus, you know, like, yeah, we know that. But what did God use to save Noah? What did he use? Everyone would say the ark. But Peter tells us he used the water. He used the water. They were saved by the water, not from the water. See, you would have thought he would say that the ark saved them. But Peter says they were saved by the water. So Noah and the flood, it's widely considered to be an OT baptism precursor, right? That means a picture of the future baptism after the cross shown to us in the Old Testament, right? And in it, we see Noah is saved by the water. And because Peter is speaking after the cross, he's saying that, hey, back then people might have said that God destroyed the wicked people, but in actual fact, God sent the water to save that one righteous guy from the wickedness that surrounded him. So I'm going to talk to you about three things that the water will do for you, all right? If you get baptized today, I want to talk to you about three things. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say three. I just only asked you to do that to see if you're awake, that's all. Three things that water baptism will do for you. I'm going to roll through the first two like so fast that if you're not listening, you'll miss two whole points, all right? And because I'm really excited about the last one, and I want to spend about 8.5 minutes talking just about that last point, all right? But don't time me because it's really going to be more like 45 minutes, all right? And no, I'm just kidding. We'll be done pretty soon, all right? The water, here's point number one. Check it out. The water. Looking at Noah's Ark and baptism, right? The water sets you free from your past. Come on, it sets you free from people, from mistakes, from reputation, from wickedness. When you come up out of the water, you're not what you used to be. You're not what they say you are. You're not what they say you were. You are now who he says you are. You've been set free from your past, set free from the reputation, set free from all that stuff that was surrounding your life. See, maybe you were a thief. Maybe you were an adulterer. Maybe you were a liar or whatever other negative words people might use to describe you, but that's not who you are now. Nothing wicked, nothing evil, nothing from your past is coming up out of the water. You're coming up out of that. Hey, new creation. What God says you are. Amen. Nothing wicked, nothing evil from your past has any ownership on your future. It has all been destroyed. Come on, someone praise God. That's good news. But stop, because we're going to get to point two real quick, all right? Point two, the water sets you apart from the world. See, now you know you're highly favored and everybody else knows it too. Now it's obvious that you are one of God's children because you aren't drowning. See, they're all drowning under the weight of their own sin and shame and pain and hurt, but you're floating above it. Come on, you're floating on it, amen. The water sets you apart from the world, amen. Now that leads me to the most exciting main point of the day that I'm not fully sure you're ready for, but I'm going to go there anyway, all right? Who's excited? Come on, this is really good. Some of y'all are in here and you're like, I've been baptized and I didn't even know. This is amazing, right? Like, and then you're going to walk out of this place and be like, hey, I'm claiming that because I've been baptized. I'm claiming that, amen, right? This is who I am. I am set free. I am set apart. Hallelujah, right? But point three, this is the best one of all of them. I'm super excited about it. Do you want it? Awesome. The water floats your boat. Boom. Yep. The water floats your boat. Come on. We're not just trying to be funny, though. Seriously, what happens if the water doesn't come? Noah's a moron forever. He's a fool. He built a boat in a desert and it never ever rained and he died looking at his boat. Nice boat, bro. What are you doing with that? You know, the kids go past and they're like, Noah, Noah, nice boat. You know, like everyone's just mocking him for the rest of his lives. People are teaching their kids to mock the boat guy, right? They look like fool. They're mocked and ridiculed. They live forever with a boat that will never ever float because the water didn't come. They have a vision that's never ever realized because the water didn't come. But the water saved them from all of that. The water floated the dream that God put in the man's heart. Come on now. The water's coming to float your boat. The water's coming to float the dream that God put in your heart. Amen. Today, when you get baptized, the waters of baptism, they're going to float your boat too. Hallelujah. Some of y'all, I didn't even know I had a boat. Oh, you got a boat. I want to talk to you about the boat for a minute. Who designed the boat? Yeah, Noah didn't just like, hey, I got this great idea for a boat, right? Heck, we tried to build a Titanic. Such a great idea. God gave Noah a dream. It wasn't Noah's dream. It was God's dream. God gave it to Noah. Put it in his heart. God designed the boat. It was all God's plan. Let's talk for a moment. Let's pretend you're the boat. Who designed you? God designed you. Who created you? God created you. Amen. Your parents, you know, you might have been lucky enough to plan your first four kids like we did. And oops, you had five. But... Your parents had a dream and it was you who put the dream in God, in their heart. It was God. You are God's dream. You are God's design. You are the boat. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then he goes on to create you. Did you know that in the beginning, Scripture makes special mention of the water as well? Did you know that? Let's roll there right now. Let's talk about that for a second, all right? This is going to be fun. We're going on a baptism journey, right? We're like rolling from start to finish, baptism, 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 right? Like we're just going from start to finish. Does this sound good? All right? Going a little bit of a journey, a little bit of a different sermon today, but this is fun. You having fun? I don't even care if you're having fun. I'm having fun, all right? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Amen. And then all creation sprang into life. Trees, color, birds in the sky, animals on the ground, fish in the waters, and then the jewel of his creation. All of us. You. 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 All of us were created. All of us were designed that day. And you might look at it and go, no, 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 I was created when mommy and dad. No, we won't go there. But, you know, it was more like more recent than that. But let me tell you, when God created mankind in his image, he thought of you. He knew where your genetics were going to roll through down to get to you. He knew that for some of you it was going to go like this and maybe step back a little bit and then come back down. He knew what was going to happen, right? Come on. Well, that was really my story just there. But he knew, and he planned you, and he designed you, and he created you that day. Amen. You are on purpose, with purpose, for a God-given purpose. But let's fast forward. Let's fast forward from creation a little bit to the flood that we just talked about, Noah's Ark and all that gear, right? Scripture shows us that the same Holy Spirit that hovered over the waters of the deep back in creation hovered over the waters again as a dove, symbolizing the Holy Spirit during this baptism of the earth called the flood. Isn't that cool? But then let's fast forward now again to Jesus Christ's baptism on earth. Jesus goes to be baptized by John the Baptist, and the same Holy Spirit that hovered over the waters of the deep in creation, that hovered over the waters when the earth went through the baptism, the same Holy Spirit is hovering over the waters again in Jesus' baptism. And at that moment, God yells out, "Hey, this is my son, and I am pleased." Isn't that cool? And then let's fast forward again a little bit further to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Scripture says that the Spirit of God raised Christ up from the dead. Out of that grave, pulled him, snatched him out of that grave to fulfill the destiny on his life. And today, the same Holy Spirit that hovered over the waters in creation, that hovered over the waters in the flood, that hovered over the waters at Jesus' baptism, that hovered over the tomb and snatched Jesus up out of that grave, hovers over these waters of baptism today to snatch you up and make you who God designed you to be, waiting to make you who God says you are, amen. You are his son, you are his daughter, and he is pleased. In the beginning, when God created mankind, he thought of you, like we said. He thought of his plans for your life. He thought of his plans to bless you, plans to prosper you, plans to give you hope, plans to help you when it hurts. Come on, God is a good God. I don't understand people that think God as a father would want to punish and hurt us all the days of our lives rather than trying to lead us into what's good for us. Amen. God is a good God. He's poured out all the punishment on the cross. Amen. God is good. And on that day, when he said, "Let us make mankind," all of those plans to bless you, to help you, to prosper you, to heal you, all those plans popped into his mind, popped into the mind of God right then at creation. And today, when you come up out of the water of baptism, the Holy Spirit is there to snatch you out of your old life and make you who God designed you to be. That's what's happening today. See, the Holy Spirit was there when God said, "Let us create mankind in our image." He knows the plan. He's seen the blueprint. And he's here to snatch you out and put you in it in Jesus' name. You will become who God designed you to be. Come on, you're not what they say you are. Even if you make a mistake, even if you screw up, even if you mess up, you're not the mess up, you're not the sin, you're not the struggle. You are now who God says you are, who God said you will be on creation, who God said you are when you were baptized, amen. You come up out of the water identifying as the Son of God, as the daughter of God that he says that you are. Hallelujah. The same Holy Spirit that was there at creation finally makes you what you were always supposed to be. And you'll be set free, set apart, amen, and set up to live that blessed, highly favored, healed, whole, and full of purpose and power kind of life, amen. The water makes you who you really are. When you mess up, what do people say you are? When you're a Christian and you mess up, what do they say? Say you're a fake, don't they? Right? Stop faking it. I know who you really are. Don't they say that sort of garbage to us? You know, like you come to church, you raise your hands, and then the next day someone found out that you cheated on your wife or you cheated on your husband, and they say, "See, I knew who you really were." That's bullcrap. Sorry to be so blunt. Check it out, though. What's more real, who God says you are or the mistakes that you've made? I want to tell you right now who the fake you is. The fake you is the one that messes up. The fake you is the one that cheated. The fake you is the one that lies. The fake you is the one that messed up your life. The real you, the real you is the one that God says that you are. Blessed and highly favored, child of God in heaven, amen. Set apart, set free, and set up. That's the real you. And when you come up out of the water, you're going to identify from now on with the real you. And anytime you ever mess up, you know that's just the old you trying to get a little bit of attention back. But you say, hey, you died. You got buried, son. You get out of my life. And when people say, oh, you're just faking it, I know what you really are. You say, yeah, what I really am isn't, you haven't even begun to glimpse how good what I really am is. Come on. But let me talk to you for a second. Excuse me. I want to be real clear though. Water baptism does not save your soul. We need to be real clear on that. Like, it does not. Scripture says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and then you will be saved, right? We can't go adding other things to Scripture. We can't add little things in there so that we get more people baptized, you know? Like, we'll get an extra 100 if we say that you're going to hell if you don't get baptized, right? Like, what kind of crap theology is that? That if you get saved in the middle of, like, the desert, yay, I met Jesus, but then you die of thirst because there's no water, that you're going to hell because you didn't get baptized. Like, can we all agree that that's just stupid and that's not the loving God that we know and read about in the Word of God? You don't have to be baptized to be saved. Baptism is about setting free, setting apart, and setting up. Your soul is saved. Get baptized, though. Get baptized, though. To float your boat, amen. Baptism is a spiritual experience. It's like finally the creation experience in your life being finished. It's been thousands or millions of years in the making. I honestly don't care at all if you believe the earth is 7,000 years old or 7 billion years old or 7 trillion years old. I really don't care. What I care about is A, who did it? That was God, right? I don't care about when. I care about who did it. And I care about the fact that he's here still today to minister to you. Would you all stand up with me? Because I want to give people in this room an opportunity to give their lives to Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, I want you to pray a prayer with me in about 2 minutes to give your life to Jesus. See, right now, we all just have to admit that we can't ever be good enough to save our own souls. That without God, we're all going to hell. Right now, I still need Jesus. I'm not like, oh, I needed him back then to forgive me and now I've been perfect ever since. No, like, I'm messed up without him. I still need him because I keep making mistakes and he keeps forgiving me and saying, let's do better next time, Jesse. Come on, you got this, brother. And I'm like, yes, come on, I got this. We all need him. We'd all go to hell without him, not just you. And I want you to know right now that if you give him your life today, it will get better. It will, I promise you. It's been my experience. Hands up if that's been your experience. Come on, yeah, hands all over this room, see? It will get better. Not perfect, but better. And he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be with you, amen? Now, some people all don't want to give their lives to Jesus because they think that they're not good enough. You know, like, none of us were good enough. That's why we needed him, all right? You don't have to be perfect. And I don't even care if after you pray this prayer with me today, you go out and rob a bank. Don't do that. But like, if you do, I'll still love you. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't care what you do. I don't care what you're doing wrong. See, if there's something in your life that's offensive to God or harmful to you, or hurtful to other people, God will speak to you about it. He will. And when He does, He'll also give you the strength and the power to win that battle and stop doing it. But until then, I just want to make sure that your soul is set free. I just want to make sure that your soul is in His hands. And that if you were to die today, that you would go to heaven with Him. That's what I want to make sure. See, I can say that because I know that He is going to speak to you. And He is going to help you become all that He designed you to be. See, I used to be over where Luke is, but I'm not anymore. I'm over here. And I'm not over there with Matt yet. So I'm not where I need to be, but I thank God I'm not where I used to be, all right? And for the rest of your life, He's going to take you on a journey, making your life better. Amen. So here's what we want you to do. Pray a prayer with me right now, all right? And I want every single person in the room to pray it with me, one line at a time. It's real simple. You won't be alone. Every person in the room is praying it together, okay? Every single person is praying this prayer out loud so you won't stand out. But if you're away from God, or if you've never had a friendship with God, I want you to pray this prayer with me as well to set your soul, set your life free, amen, and get rid of the shame and the pain of your past and start living the blessed life that God designed for you. So let's all do that together. Everybody repeat after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross for my sin, and He rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive your forgiveness. I receive this new life with you as my Lord and my Savior. Help me to live it the way you designed it, just for me. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Come on, praise God. Now, I'm going to be done in about 2 minutes, all right? So bear with me. But there's three things I want you to do if you prayed that prayer for the first time or for the first time in a long time. Number one, I want you to tell someone what you prayed today. I want you to tell them what you did. Tell the person standing next to you. Tell your mom. Tell your dad. Tell a friend. Tell someone at home. Tell someone what God did in your life today and bring them to church with you next week, all right? Number two, I want you to text the word SAVED. Tell us what you did. Text the word SAVED to the number 25827 and you'll get a free gift in the mail. Our church is obsessed with generosity. We're obsessed with giving gifts away, all right? So text that number. You will receive a really sweet gift in the mail this week, all right? The third thing I want you to do is I want you to tell me. So I want everyone in the room, front to back, right to left, to close their eyes. Everyone, bow your head and close your eyes. I'm going to count to three, and then I want you to lift up your hand. It's so that I can pray for you. It's so that I can cheer and celebrate what God's done in your life today. Now, I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to tell everyone who you are or where you're standing. I'm not even going to come down there. I'm going to pray for you from right here where I stand on the stage. So right now, if you're in this room and you prayed that prayer for the first time or for the first time in a long time, if you want to join the other 25 people that have prayed that prayer this weekend, I want you to lift up your hand on the count of three. One, two, three, go. Right now, all over this place. Lift up those hands. Let me see your hands. Come on, keep going. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Anyone else? 15, God bless you. Anybody else? 16, God bless you. Anybody else? Awesome, you can put your hands down. For those 16 people, I wanna pray for you right now. Sorry, it wasn't 25 before today. It was 19 plus 16 now. Praise God, hallelujah. I wanna pray for all of you. If everyone in the room could reach out your hands in faith now, we're gonna pray for those 16 people. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you trust Eternity Church to look after people who come to meet you, to love them, to accept them, to embrace them, to help them become all that you designed them to be. And right now, we just bless them. God, we just bless them in Jesus' name. And we ask you to take their shame and pain and hurt of all their past mistakes done by them or done to them or around them. And just remove that shame, that stain, that hurt. Cast it away as far as the east is from the west, just like their sin. And God, instead I pray that hope, brand new joy, everlasting joy would be theirs in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord one more shout of praise. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen.